Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama, and you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake woke. An imposter. Only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C. That's my
I know. It seems like forever, right?
Yeah.
But it's only been 3 weeks? 2 weeks?
Was it 3 weeks or was it 2 weeks?
Two weeks. My bad.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks. My goodness.
Oh, man.
Gracious.
Well, we back at it again.
Yep.
Daddy's online?
No, he's not on yet. I don't see him.
Oh, no.
There he goes. As soon as you spoke him up. We spoke you up, Daddy.
There we go. Asking you.
I'm here. Okay, family.
Yes, we spoke you up. As soon as Candace said,
oh, yes, you did.
I said, I don't see him. I said, I don't see him. And then we saw you.
There we go. I'm here.
That's funny.
Oh,
man.
Wow.
So this week, we just said, there's been a lot that we probably missed in the past 2 weeks, so it's time to do like a hot topic.
Oh my goodness.
Sounds
you know, amazing. There's just so much is going on, you know, just in general, in the world, in the nation, in the communities. It's just
mm-hmm.
an exciting time. It's a very exciting
mm-hmm.
time.
It's an exciting time.
Exciting is the right word.
And the time is now. No
yeah.
better time
well,
but
making,
the present.
Yeah, well, it's making us all reflect on who we are and
mm-hmm.
making decisions and just, you know, self-reflection and looking inside and say, you know, who are we as a people? Who am I as a person? So much
mm-hmm.
has happened since the last time we've been able to broadcast together, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's quite something else. You know, and again,
one
like
thing
I say, knowledge.
Mercury retrograde.
Yeah, hey, listen. Well, that's what they say. Knowledge is power.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power. That is a truism. That is very true. Knowledge is power. And and when you have knowledge and you watch how people are conducting themselves, you ask yourself, you know, like, what are you preparing for your children and your grandchildren and the world that yet to come?
Yeah.
You know, what do you want for them? You know, is it that bad for you that you would just put things in a situation? First, starting with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, just to give you an example, and then I'll start these hot topics off as it relates to knowledge and power. We did a program where I talked about when I was teaching children in school, and I was teaching them in social studies the difference between politics and economics. Okay.
Mm.
And I said, you know, there's so much, particularly now, throwing out the word socialism, throwing out the word communism, but nobody knows what they're talking about. Nobody knows at least the definition of what
exactly.
we were supposed to think of. We don't put it together. We confuse the two. For instance, Humpty Trumpty, in one of his speeches when he was coming down on the four congresswomen, he said they're socialists and they could even be communists.
Mm.
And that textbook wise, that is such an ignorant statement for the so-called most powerful person in the world to say. That is just so ignorant. You're mixing, you're comparing the two as if they could be compared. Communism is a political system. Socialism is an economic system. Mm-hmm. Democracy is a political system, and capitalism is the economic system. You cannot compare the two. And it was, you know, as I was watching it, I was thinking about the program we did where I was talking about the children, and I'm sure that my students, if they were listening to the program, those that have been exposed to some of the things I tried to get them to understand about politics and economics, to know the difference between mm-hmm. the two. Mm-hmm. I know they say, oh, that's what Brother Kaba used to always say. Because I always said
sure
it, even to y'all, I used to tell you this, to know the difference. You can't compare apples and oranges.
Mm-hmm.
They're both fruit, but you can't compare the two.
But people don't know, so therefore
they
just go with what other people say instead of, wait a minute, let me look this up. You never gave us a definition. We will go to you and say,
nobody.
What does the word mean? And we had the encyclopedias, and we had to look it up in the, whoever remembers these encyclopedias, the paper ones, not the Google. You can't look up the Google thesaurus or
the navy blue and gray and the the maroon and
the
gold.
The red, yes, yes. Yes, we had a library, and we would have to look
yes.
up those words.
We had both of them.
You never gave
both
us the answer. Mm-hmm.
Nope. But now when I come across something, what do? I look it up.
Yeah,
there we go.
That's what we're taught to do instead of assuming what you know somebody else
yeah.
tells us is correct.
Yep.
You always say, don't
exactly.
believe me. Look it up.
That's right. There we go.
Yeah, I don't
that
want you to
good.
Believe
I'm
me. I want to just make you think.
Oh, I like that. I'm gonna copy that. I'm gonna tell people that. I hope you don't mind if I use that.
Of course. I got him a really smart, intelligent, cool guy. I don't think he'll mind.
No,
well, please give
smartest,
him my regard.
According to his grandson, the smartest man in the world.
Listen. I found some things out. I've been privy to some information, and let me tell you, I did not realize how smart you were. You don't realize how smart you are until you realize how smart you are.
There you go. You don't know until you don't know. Yes.
Coming from your children, that's a high that's a high compliment coming from your children. So I appreciate it.
But you know, it goes back to the things that I say probably on every show, and something that you've said because you've heard me say it, and I heard Charlamagne say it. Why believe the truth when the lie is more entertaining? Right now, you know, there's a situation going on now in the world, and we're kind of far gone. Like, as much as we may educate each other and educate ourselves, there's things that are going on in the world that make it very difficult for people to open their eyes. Like, we've all really become sheep, because when things are entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And when things look good or feel good, or you know, we don't want to know the truth because ignorance is bliss, and that's where the statement comes from. People would rather be stupid, but ignorant and blissful than intellectual and like finding things out and learning. Like nobody wants, you know, when you post something, that's when they always talk about when you get a new job, you get 100 likes. When you open a new business, you might get 10. Like, people would be more happy for you if you get a new job than if you open a business. And that's, you know, that's something that's real.
Open your eyes and tune your ears.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't even know where we can go from here. Like, we can just, you know, I start to understand the 3 out of 100 much more. The older I get and the more people I interact with, I understand what you say daily much more about the 3 out of 100. Because I thought that it was possible to educate as many people as possible. But some people just don't want to listen. Some people don't want to hear it and don't want to be part of the 3. They talk a good game, but at the end of the day, they really don't want to be part of the 3 out of 100. And that's something that we just have to come to grips with.
But when you first hear 3 out of 100, you're like, oh, my gosh, that's not enough. You know, but you gonna want only 3 out of 100 because those are the only people that are gonna be able to soldier through everything that needs to be done. Sometimes
when
you got too many people.
Yep.
When you get the raw numbers, if in fact they say there are 30 million people of African American descent, which probably more, I don't go by their count. But if you put together the groups of African people from the Caribbean and from Central and South America, there's far more. But let's just say, let's play with the number 30 million. 3% of 30 million is 900,000.
Mm-hmm.
And if 900,000 people were to aggregate, to bring together their economic system, their support system, those three out of 100 you're talking about are the ones that are your soldiers. They are the ones that ride or die with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you had 900,000 people that thought like that, you could really be very effective in doing what you need to do. I'm working with a group called One Full Circle out of Montreal. I just did an interview with the brother the other day. I was on Facebook. And this brother has invited me up to Montreal before, and I've done work there. He has a homeschooling network in Montreal. And also, he's inviting me to come up after Hidden Colors 5 comes out, and we have a conversation. He is purchasing land in Montreal, and he's building a network of people that are supporting his venture. And what he's finding is that the area that he bought is predominantly of African descent. And what he's looking to do is to buy more land and more buildings and more area in this area. And so, you know, when we think about how things are, there are people out here that have great ideas that are doing, and I am going to support. I'm gonna be buying shares. Sasha, you rubbing off on me with this money and investment, and you rubbing off on me now because I see how the future is, you know, and what we have to do as a people, and the way the system is, and so I'm interested in buying shares, and I'm already part of One Full Circle, but I haven't purchased shares, so to speak, but I'm going to start to purchase shares because I'm thinking globally now. Malcolm always said, think globally, act locally.
Oh, that's good.
And I just heard somebody repeat that proverb, and it reminded me Malcolm saying that. And he was talking about, think of the global African community, in what ways you can support it, but also be aware of where you are locally.
Mm-hmm.
Understand how the system works. All politics is local. We can, you know, we all get attracted to the presidential race. That's the thing that everybody gets. But if nobody's talking about the vote in 1919. Everybody's talking about 2020. Nobody's talking about 2019. And in 2019, you're going to be voting for your state representatives and some of your city council members. That's where the power is. That's very important.
Absolutely.
And you just can't lose sight of that. All politics is local. And so these are just some of the things that are going on that I think are very exciting for us as a people. And, you know, I'm just thinking about, you know, the work that we did and, you know, just things that we do economically. We just have to start to invest. We have to understand what investment is.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. That's what we got to get down on right now.
But we're a little bit stubborn, I think, though, because we refuse to see things for the way that they are. We see all these things and these things that we're wishing for and these things that we're demanding and these things that we're protesting for, but we don't see what's actually going on. Like, even if you're interested in protesting and marching and asking for reparations and everything that people are doing right now that's a hot topic, which is just a fad anyway because most people don't care about anything but a check anyway, but that's beside the point. Even if that's what you're fighting for, you need to still be building your foundation within your family or within yourself because so many people are so focused on getting stuff from somebody else and they're not focused on what they could be doing themselves. Like, when all you're doing is asking for the government to give you a check, you're pretty much asking for welfare. Even if we deserve it, even though, I'll say, we may deserve whatever amount of money that the community is entitled to, if we're not working on ourselves internally, if we're not working on our families to make sure that the moment that check hits our bank account or hits our mailbox, that is going and is going to last for the rest of our life, that money is going to be going faster than a tax refund check.
Yeah.
And we're playing around. We're playing around because we think that all we need is the money from the government and they're going to call the reparations and then we're going to, everybody's going to be okay. And then white people are like, maybe these black people are pretty good since we gave them some reparation. That's not going to happen. We need to be doing stuff on many different levels before we get anything. And I'm not saying that we need to do that before we get it, but we need to do it now so that when it does happen, we're prepared. Because I don't think we're prepared yet.
Well, you know, I think the 3 out of 100 are either doing it, they are prepared, or they're waiting for someone to come to give them the instruction as to how they're doing it. This is why I say the 3 out of 100. And again, I don't know who the 3 out of 100 are. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't even have to have gone to formal school. You might have left in high school.
Exactly.
My requirements or what I'm expecting of the 3 out of 100 is simply commitment to moving yourself, your family, your people, and your community forward to become productive citizens of the world. That's what I think are the requirements for the 3 out of 100. You can be in any occupation. You could be bus driver. You could be banker. You could be a social worker. You know, you could be a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad. So we have to talk to those individuals because they're waiting to hear this. And I know for a fact because when I visit communities and some of the things that they tell me, you got people who are waiting. You also have people that have money that are looking for something to invest in, but they don't want to be messed with. They don't want to be bamboozled. So we have the people that we need. We just have to organize, as Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture used to say, to organize ourselves. And that's what I'm looking for in terms of when I say the 3 out of 100. I'm looking for people that can ride above the controversy. I ride above, you know, the gossip, the things that you hear about somebody, that you're strong enough and smart enough to say, yo, look, I'm not going with that. I'm not going to judge somebody because you told me something about them. I'm going to wait to investigate myself and see exactly what this person is about. And then make your decision. If the person is not of that quality, you make your decision. But be smart enough out of the 3 out of 100. Be smart enough to understand that there are people that were born in this world to stop you from achieving your goal, and you were born in the world to make sure they're not successful.
I love that, and I say that all the time. I say that just after you told me that, I love that. And I say that all the time.
Because you don't take it personal.
So
you don't take things personal. When folks start acting up and acting rather ridiculous, you don't get personal with them. You don't get upset. You just say, oh, well, I guess that's what you were born to do. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for revealing yourself because you showed your card.
Exactly.
And you ain't getting up in here. You ain't getting in here. You ain't getting inside of me.
Not
in my house. Not in my temple.
Not in my
temple. Not in my temple. We don't do that in my temple.
Oh, man. But it's the truth, though. The first thing is to realize it. And once you realize it, then you make the changes, the correct changes that you need to make in your life. Because if you stay oblivious to it, there's no way you're going to be able to change because you don't even know something's wrong.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, something that I noticed lately, like I've been looking at a lot of the comments on social media. That's something that I've been interested in doing. And I realized that most people, whether society hates you or loves you, there's usually like a 50-50 split between people that love you and people that hate you. So you might as well do what makes you and your family and your loved ones happy. Because there's going to be people that hate you and there's going to be people that love you. And there's nothing that
Daddy,
you can do about it except
you
be yourself.
You used to tell us the percentage. It's like 80% of people will love you. I forgot to. What is the percentage?
85-15.
I thought it was like it was a different, like, people will love, hate you, envy you. It was a few, like it wasn't like a half an it wasn't like a split two ways. It was more than two.
No. Yeah, it was 85% and 15%.
So 85% will love you and 15%
with that same strength of love. That's the 85% will love you, the 15% will hate you.
Mm-hmm. Or want to be
with the same strength. And then of course you have between all of them, you have those that can, you know, that are in between the two. But I always said that because, you know, when I was in education and in leadership position, when you are in a leadership position, you have to understand there are things that you have to do. And when I was first teaching, I started as a teacher. And one of the unfortunate things, but fortunate, was I rose up as an assistant principal in the same school that I was once a teacher. So many of the people that were my peers as teachers became under me, I became their supervisor. And so we were there laughing and joking and sometimes even talking about administration, and now all of a sudden I'm in administration. And when you look at administration, just that as an example, but if you move to administration in general, when you become a leader, so to speak, or when you do things that you are supervising other people, or you're doing things where there are people that work with you or for you, it creates animosity, because there are decisions that you have to make as a leader, as a supervisor, in the interest of everybody. That may tick off some of the individuals. But the thing is, like in Star Trek, I'm a little bit of a Trekkie, and they say, you know, the needs of the many outweigh the need of the one. That's what Spock used to always say. Logic. The needs of the many outweigh the need of the one. But the need of the one is important to the need of the one. So they're going to get all on your case because you've made a decision that they don't like. But they have to understand it's in the interest of everybody, not you. And so you get you got to get a tough skin to be able to handle people that are going to come at you, and they're not going to like you.
Simply because you're in charge, because they're jealous.
Yeah, that's true too. My mother used to always say to me, "Say, Skip, I can tell by your face you're not happy with me right now. But I want to be honest with you. I don't care. I'm your mother." I'm your mother. I'm not. I'd like to be a special friend to you, but whether you don't like what I did or not, don't make a difference to me, because I'm your mother and I got to make decisions in your best interest that you don't see.
Well,
so you can sit there with that little look on your face if you want to, but when all is said and done, you still gonna have to come to me and ask me, "Mommy, can I have a quarter?" So you better think about that. That's when a quarter was a whole bunch of money, of course.
That's funny.
We know where you got your funk from.
Hey. That's it. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm your, I'm the supervisor, or I'm your parent, and that's what leadership does. Leadership puts you in a position where people are going to get a little twisted in the face, and they, going mad.
They're going to feel a certain way.
Mean mug you. All sorts
of things. They're going to be in a feeling.
But it's
like,
all right.
Like the Drake song, "In Your Feelings."
That's
in
it. But, hey, that's how it rolls.
You're not going to always be people's favorite.
That's it. And realize that.
And now look. And now look. You're our favorite now.
Oh, hey. So to speak, with my family, yeah. But you work it out, because when you go out there, there are people that will come at you. Can't take it personal. And I think this is part of what we're facing as a people. We're very personal. We take things very personal, which maybe some people mean to be personal with you, but that don't mean you got to take it personally.
Exactly. Your opinion is none of my business.
That's it. And I'd appreciate it if you'd keep me out of your business.
Exactly.
Something else.
Well, I'd like to play a song that kind of goes to what we were talking about and just our presence and our representation in the world. I think that this song really does speak to at least what the three of us are trying to do and what a lot of the 3 out of 100 and other people are trying to do also. So,
all right, drop it like
we'll be right back after this song. Oh, yeah.
I wanna leave my footprints on the sands of time. Know there was something bad and something that I left behind. When I leave this world, I'll leave no regrets. Leave something to remember so they won't forget I was here.
Make me emotional. That's a song that really, like, that's kind of how I feel. Like, when you see everything that's going on, all the negativity in the world and everything that's going on, and sometimes you feel like it's everything that you do is a waste. I mean, maybe everybody doesn't feel like that, but sometimes when you see all of the negativity that goes on in the world, it feels like like why are we even doing this? Like, why are we not all just being for ourselves and not looking out for people and not giving great information and not trying to make the world better when we leave it than when we entered it? But, like, songs like that really remind me of why, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what the president does, no matter what these negative people do, no matter how horrible it is, even with the exonerated five, as they're now called, which were the Central Park Five when they were younger, they went through everything they went through, but they still, they're doing something now to make sure that other kids don't go through what they went through. So all the negativity, sometimes, you know, I told somebody one time that sometimes things happen to strong people so they can be an example for people that are not, maybe not as strong, and they can, you know, be a testimony for people that are not as strong. So sometimes, you know, even with that situation, all five of them were strong, strong as hell, and they came out and they're able to do something to make the world a better place. So while we could hope that never happens to anybody like that again, at least they're doing something to make the world better than, you know, than when, and all we can do is just try to make the world as good as we can. And as long as you make the effort, you know, all of these things that we talk about and all of this negativity, it really, like you said, Daddy, there's people that are here specifically to make sure that you're not doing well, and it's your job to make sure that they don't succeed. And the older I get, and the more mature I get, and the more emotionally stable I get, the more I realize how true that is.
Yeah. No, it's very true, because it's like everything happens for a reason, and you have to always look at it like that, because once you see that, you may not realize in a moment why it's happening, but it's happening for a reason. And, you know, we just have to accept that. A lot of it's like black ice. Like, sometimes you just got to put your hands up and then just let it go as it may, because with black ice, you can do more damage than good if you try to, you know, stare in the direction of where you want the car to go on a black ice, as opposed to where your car is supposed to go.
Wow. What an example. That's a good example.
True.
I mean, it's true. It is true.
And it's like, it's like so many times in life, even I can use me for an example. I did not realize where that car was going. But there was something in me that always said, you got to let up on it. You got to take your hands off the wheel, and where your car is supposed to go is where it will go. And now I'm in a better place than if I were to think to try to move my car in the direction that I could have want. It could have crashed into a wall. It could have done so much damage. But right now I'm unscathed, and I'm better, bigger and better than ever. So we have to realize in life we go through things for a reason. People, you know, organizations or whatever, they're in your life for a reason, and sometimes for a season. Allow that to happen. Allow what needs to be done to be done. And just realize that at the end of the day, you're going to come out better than when you went into it.
Always a lesson.
Yes. And take the best and leave the rest.
Hey,
you know, that's a saying right there.
I like that.
There we go.
I'm going to take that again. I'm going to take that, too. And, you know,
you're just swiping all these things.
I got you, boy. You people dropping some gems on me. Sasha-isms and Kondike-isms. I got to grab it all. But you know what's interesting about what you said, Kondike, about the black ice and the wheel? We have a term. It's a religious term. But in so many different ways, if we understood what we were talking about when we said certain things, like there's a term like what you just said, there's a term where people say, Jesus, take the wheel.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, that term of allowing the wheel to go where it needs to go is like that term, what it's saying, Jesus, take the wheel. Now, I'm not speaking religiously right now. I'm speaking metaphorically.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is something that I've spoken of. I'm speaking about we as a family, to have faith in yourself, to have faith in what you've done, and to know that all things are in divine order.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times that you have to take your hands off the wheel and let a divine force. I'm not speaking in a religious sense right now. Because, of course, you need to have control. But the idea of when you hit black ice, or I remember I was caught in a snowstorm up in New Paltz one time. And there was nothing that my hands on the wheel or my brakes. In fact, if I put the brakes on, I would have been in bigger trouble.
Exactly.
If I tried to steer the car, I would have been in bigger trouble. And so what you have to do is almost have a blind trust in the forces that are with you at that time.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
And so I want to be careful how I say this, because I don't want to seem like I'm saying that, you know, you just say a prayer and everything is all right. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that your example of the black ice is good, because those who have driven and you feel what that car feels like, when you hit snow or ice and you have no control over that car, you know that you can't steer that wheel, you don't put your foot on the brakes or try to accelerate. All you have to do is back up and pray to meditate on the idea that things will turn out all right.
Yeah.
Because you ain't got no control.
Wow.
So in that greater sense, Jesus, take the wheel.
And, you know, it's funny because I was actually at work, and one of my coworkers, she's very, like, very religious, very within the church. And it's funny because she started playing Marvin Sapp's Never Would Have Made It. And for me, for those who know me, that's my song. That's my jam. Whenever I'm going through something, whenever there's something pressing on my mind, I have to play that, because the symbolism with that song. And for me, I'm very spiritual. I'm spiritual over religion. And it's not just because my dad, but it's just because that's, you know, how I live my life. And for me, that song, as gospel as that song is, and you know, how much of what it represents, it talks about God and it talks about the church and, you know, and everything. But for me, that is just telling me that, you know, without your faith, without what keeps you going, without your morals, your ethics, you can't live your life. You have to have something that you hold on to, and you're like, you know, I may not understand at this moment why I have to allow this to occur, but in the end, I know everything's going to be okay because I have faith in myself. And, you know, she played that song.
And you are God having a human experience.
Yeah.
That's another one I'm going to take.
But the thing is that whatever religion you are, whatever your beliefs are, you know, you have your own interpretation of, you know, allowing what needs to be done. And so she played that song, and then she started talking about, like, religion and things like that. And then she was like, oh, you got to listen to this person. So I started listening. And then what I realized, and, you know, I'm just grateful that our parents brought us up the way that we did, because we're not turned off by something that we don't know. We're not turned off by something that we may not necessarily have the same beliefs 100%.
Yep.
We allow that, you know, we allow ourselves to be open-minded and listen, even if we don't necessarily believe it within ourselves, we still respect individuals and their beliefs, because what allows them to get day-to-day may not necessarily be what allows us to get day-to-day, but what we have to realize is that people need to be able to get day-to-day.
Yeah.
When you lose that ability to move past something, whatever you believe in, when you lose that ability, you lose yourself. And we don't know what kind of mindset. That's why I've never, ever, ever tried to take anybody out of their religion, anybody out of their beliefs, never tried to uplift my beliefs over their beliefs, because what allows them to get through their day-to-day is their beliefs. And if you take it away, what do they
have? I say that all the time. Yep. I say the same thing all the time.
Yeah. but to say all of that, like, I started listening to the songs, and I realized a lot of the songs are like unconditional love that people crave from you.
And, you know, if you grow up in a household where you're told constantly, you'll never make it, you're nothing, you know, I can't believe you, I'll never forgive you, you're some of this earth, you know, whatever you can think of. When you grow up in a household like that and then you hear a song and you hear somebody tell you, I love you unconditionally regardless of what happens, you know, I'm going to always love you, you're the best, I'm going to uplift you, you're going to move towards something that's positive. And a lot
that's
of individuals...
Christians during slavery. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's how slaves became Christians.
That's how they their ability to, you know, even being raped, they had to get into a mentality and a mind state that allowed them to get stronger and get past it. What does not kill you makes you stronger. So what allowed them to get through it was their religion and their ability to go into song and to, regardless of what's thrown at them, we got chitlins and we made that the style that people actually, that's a delicacy dish nowadays. Like, you know, it's very interesting. The way in which we are is because of the way in which we've grown up and what's instilled in us and our ability to appropriately cope. And that's where I got from. I was like, wow. I said, a lot of what people get from this is that unconditional love that you're supposed to get from your parents. And I think that a lot of times that's why we don't necessarily search for that, because we've always gotten it within our family. Those that don't
that's
have
what God
we can't
has called
judge
the father.
Them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we can't judge the fact that, you know, they may or may not need this in order to get through, you know, what they're getting through, because that's allowing them to get to the next day and that's allowing them to move past what they're experiencing. But ultimately, if we just do it with amongst ourselves and in our family and within our children and the youth, you know, everything boils down to the youth and the way in which you deal with things. Like if you see a temper tantrum, the kid throwing a temper tantrum, there's a reason they're throwing that temper tantrum, and how do you respond to that temper tantrum? And I forgot the exact situation, but I remember, you know, even with you know, your son and my nephew, like there was no baby talk. We allowed him, we spoke to him like he's an adult, and that's why he acts the way that he does now. I never remember him throwing a temper tantrum. He tells me exactly how he feels, even if I don't want to hear it. He tells me exactly how he feels. And he'll let you know, Auntie, I'm upset. Auntie, I'm mad. Auntie, this is how I feel. And I allow him to express himself because it makes him be able to put to words his feelings. And that's what a lot of the youth are lacking.
Yeah, and that's the thing that a lot of people don't get. Even a recent example, when we went out to lunch with our cousin that day. Oh, when we were all there, Mommy and Daddy were there and everything. And Christian was upset. And, like, he was really upset. And a lot of people would have just taken him somewhere and beat him. Like, that's just the way that some parents are. I didn't want to embarrass him. So I took him off to the side. I had a conversation with him, and I found out what was wrong with him. I had a conversation. He is 7 years old, but I had a conversation. I respected him as a human. And I don't care what anybody tells me. Kids are not property, and kids are human beings. I would have a conversation with him.
You're just teaching them how to respond to people. If you realize, all I'm going to do is whip them, what are they learning from the whipping? They're learning to be abusive. They're learning in order to get their way and get their point across. They have to hit another individual.
Yeah. And if you think about, like when we talk about white people don't hit their kids, but black people do, and black people were the ones that were beaten during slavery, while there are situations where you have to make sure that your child understands right and wrong. And I'm not saying to do what white people do, but what I'm saying is that a lot of times we do what was taught to us. And now slavery ended 154 years ago. That's what was handed down. A lot of times that's the only way we know how to deal with punishing someone and getting them to respect us when the respect is actually fear. And a lot of people, when I say that, a lot of people get offended because they think that I'm calling them abusive, or they're saying that they're being like a slave owner. That's not what I'm saying. But a lot of times the things that we do, even the soul food that we eat, we think that's soul food and it's slave food. And we don't get the that these are, you know, you talk about epigenetics, and Philippe Matthews talks about epigenetics. These things are passed down, and we think that these are black things when they're actually slave things, and a lot of us don't get it, and we don't want to get it because you have to do things differently, and we fear doing things differently. A Christian doesn't need me to beat him because between the age of birth and five, we've developed a relationship where if he has an issue, and this is with anybody, if he has an issue, we're going to have a conversation about it. He doesn't even work well with being punished. He works well with you have a conversation with him, and he gets respect, and he gives respect. And
you explain to him.
That doesn't have to be around me or him.
But you have to explain things. You can't just be like, you can't do that. Because then that's how they learn. And then they'll try to sneak and still do it because they don't understand why it is that they can't do it.
Exactly. And even there's some things that I let him do, but he doesn't do in front of other people because they don't get it. Like, they're not dangerous things or anything like that, but there's things that a human being is allowed to do, but some people just, like if he has a question, you know, a lot of times it's be seen and not heard. Like, you're not, like, if I do something and I'm wrong, I tell him, you know, don't correct me in front of people, but we can have the conversation later. But other people don't get it. They don't get how intelligent he is. So they feel like he's being disrespectful when he's actually being inquisitive and trying to find things out.
But you know what? It don't matter
what
nobody else
was saying about. I know.
But it don't matter what nobody else because
I know.
When you look at it, a lot of them are dealing with issues that are far beyond what anybody else can. You know, they can't speak on it. They got to look within themselves and they got to figure out. They got to work on themselves.
I agree.
The second I minded my business I realized how much business I had to mind.
Exactly. There's another one. I should be writing these things down.
Don't worry, you got your secretary over there. I can write it down for you.
What I was gonna say is
that not only do I have to mold him or assist in molding him into a great human being, I also have to assist in molding him to understand how to deal with society. Because sometimes when you're that out of the box thinking, you don't know how to conform to society when it's necessary. So I have to give him the tools to be able to, while he's very intelligent, inquisitive, and ask the right questions, he also has to know that there's certain times when you can't ask these questions. There's certain times when you can't interrupt this person. So I try to make it so that he understands that he can ask me any question he needs to ask me. But there's certain people that are going to side-eye him and make his life difficult if
well,
he
there's
asks questions in the wrong time.
For everything.
Exactly. And that's what it is. Like, you have to find a balance. Like, I love that Christian can do, you know, we can go places, we can visit things. I want him to be as cultured as possible. I want him to know a lot of different things. But in giving him so much, I also don't want him to take life for granted. So it's a fine line between balancing, making sure that you give them everything that they want and need, and also not making them spoiled. So, you know, there's a number of different things that as a parent you have to you're gonna, you know, and you see it even being his aunt. There's things that you have to do and have to say, you know. You may not have birthed him, but you're still a very important person in his life, so it's still like a parental type of thing.
Oh, that's
and
my handsome right there.
I know. You want to spoil him, but you also have to make sure that he doesn't turn into a monster also.
Yeah, no.
Because a lot of these people shooting up places.
A lot of people don't understand cause and effect. They don't realize that if you do this, this happens. And the more you teach them, you know, cause and effect. If you do this, this will happen. And if you explain it to them, it's their curiosity that keeps making them do those things. Just explain it to them and, you know, sometimes allow them to experience a little bit of it, but in a monitored way that, you know, they're experiencing it. They're understanding that, you know, the stove is hot. Not saying that I let him touch the stove, but, like, the stove turns on, it's hot. Like, they have to understand. Like, no. But they have to understand, cause and effect. Like, you know, you fall, you may get a scrape, you get back up, and guess what? You're still alive. Nothing bad has happened. Like, you have to experience those things.
Exactly, and it's not always easy to do that. Because there are times, you know, when we go outside and when he's coming from after school, I get him a $3 icy. I don't get him a dollar icy. Other people, but that's just what I want. That's just what I want to do for him. But I also don't want him to take it for granted. Like if he has to get $1 today instead of
$3 icy,
like you have to
buy $3 icy. Where my $3 icy at? I mean, since we're giving out $3
icy, if I have $9, because mine is the second icy that I get. I get one too. I get, you know, people have tried to ruin, no names mentioned, one of them is on the phone. People have tried to ruin my icy experience. And then one of my managers also was like, where do they wash their hands when they go to the bathroom? I was like, mind your damn business.
Mind your business. Mind your damn business. Don't ruin my experience.
Well, let me tell you, I pass, in fact, Sasha, where you lived at one time in the Bronx,
yes,
was the headquarters where those ICs come from.
I know. Stop it.
Okay. And so if you saw what happened to those containers after they were empty, and if you understood the recycling process.
Oh, my goodness.
Because if you ask Koresh to this day, because he say, Grandma get me icy, Mommy get me icy. Auntie get me icy. Mama get me icy. I say, but guess what? Grandpa ain't getting you icy because I know what that icy is. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to go back to your favorite song, Conde K, because there's a story behind, and I think it's important.
Can I play it? Because I got it up on the screen.
Yeah, no, okay. Why don't you play it and then I'll back off I'm gonna tell you about that song.
Yeah, here we go.
What I wanna just say is listen to the words of the song from a perspective of honoring your ancestors. Don't think in terms of the creator or religion. Marvin Sapp sang that song in a very special way that it could be interpreted in a number of different ways. It's a beautiful song, as all gospel and spiritual are, but listen to the song as if you were talking to all of your ancestors.
I got it right here.
All right. Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I
Somebody just needs to testify to somebody next to them. Tell them, I'm stronger. I'm wiser. I'm better. Much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. Now I'm stronger. Now I'm wiser. I'm better. So much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Tell them, never could have made it.
Never could have made it without you.
Oh, I wish I had some help here. I wish I had just two or three people that would just declare it. Never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
Never could have made it.
I just love to encourage myself. Sometimes I just look in the mirror and say, I'm stronger, I'm wise, I am better, so much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. But I never I never could have made it without you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lord. Oh, good God Almighty, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Never could have made it. Singing one more time. All I need is just one more time. Everybody say with me.
Never would have made it.
Oh, oh, oh.
Never could have made it
without you. Every time I hear that song, I mean, because what I love about that song is that it brings you to different levels. Like, in a part, he gets loud. And at the end, he gets low. But he brings you through all the emotions. And that's all the emotions that we go through as a people.
Yep.
You know, you have to allow yourself to go through the emotions. So by the end of this song, like, I play the song if I'm feeling upset, hurt, whatever. By the end of it, my tears are done, my feelings are done, and I'm back to normal. And it allows me to go through all the emotions that I'm feeling. It may be anger, it may be sadness, it may be happiness, because I don't just play it when I'm upset. Sometimes I play it when, you know, good things happen, and you're just like, this. I can't believe this is happening. Like, this, it's a happy emotion, you know, and you just go through the different emotions, and you can feel it. That's what makes a good song, is that you can feel what he's saying. And you can relate it to any facet of your life. I don't care what anybody's gone through, whether you're black, white, Asian, whatever persuasion. Like, you've gone through something that you've said, I don't know how I got out of this, but I got out of it. And the only reason that allowed me to get through this is whether it's a person, whether it's a thought, whether it's a feeling, whether whatever it is that got you through it, you would have never been able to get through the, because we go through emotions. We go through a lot, you know, as human beings. Not everything is perfect. Nothing is cookie cutter. you know, we go through emotions, and that song allows you to go through those emotions and allows you to realize, yes, I may get up there in my rage or my anger or my voice, but then I'll bring it back down. And by that, I don't really like long songs, but I appreciate the length of this song that he bring it to you. By the end of that song, you feel complete. Like, that is a complete song. There's so many songs you're like, oh, I wish you would have done this. I wish you would have. That song is complete to me because it brings you full circle to your feelings. And you're like, okay. And then he's like, yeah, I just do one more time. And I said, I needed that one more time. Woo. Everybody sang with me.
You know, I was part of a
song. Oh. Go ahead, Daddy.
I was part of a curriculum program going back 2008, 2009, 2010. Brother from Indianapolis asked me to be a part of it. He had developed a DVD, about a 10-minute DVD, on the rise of state senator, then senator, and then presidential candidate, and then President Barack Obama. And this song, Never Could Have Made It, was the theme song to the DVD.
Wow.
And the reason why I was part of it, when he did it for his church, and the pastor of the church liked it so much, he said that we need to create a curriculum to teach.
Wow.
Because the idea of Never Could Have Made It was used to demonstrate African-American history. All of the people that preceded President Obama, Shirley Chisholm, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, they all ran for president. Shirley Chisholm in particular got 13% of the vote back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And Huey P. Newton, the Black Panther Party, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, all of the people in African American history that made it possible for President Obama to become president. So the idea of Never Could Have Made It was a libation on the honoring of all of those that came before us that have made our success possible.
Mm-hmm.
It was directly looking at the rise of President Obama. But it was indirectly honoring all of those African Americans that sacrificed so much, even those that we may never know, those names that we don't know, those names that we can't call, all of the ancestors that went through this process from the shores of Africa to the communities of Africa right into the American hemisphere. And so when you listen to that song, Never Could Have Made It, it was telling us President Obama could never have made it had it not been for all of those forces. And one of the things that I put in place was a lesson on the Laetoli footsteps. The footsteps are footsteps that represent the earliest of human beings. That there was a volcano that erupted in East Africa. And after the volcano, there was ash that had been left over thousands of years. And these Africans walked across, and their footprints are in the ash. And they were dated. And this is how we know how old and how long life has been in Africa. And they were used as footprints like, never could have made it. We would never be where we are had it not been for those Africans that did what they did millions of years ago in Africa. And the curriculum ends with the same footprints. And one of the things that I highlighted as it relates to Never Could Have Made It is those footprints were left behind for us to be able to study the ancestry of the human family. But at the same time, I'm asking young people who are learning their history and learning their culture, my question to them is, what footprints do you want to leave that people millions of years from now.
Oh.
Say again?
Mm-hmm. No, sir, that was the Beyonce song that I played. The
okay.
First one.
What footprints are you going to leave? Just as we're following those footprints, and we know who they are, where they came from, and how it happened, what footprints are we all leaving behind? You know, when someone dies, normally when they die, there is a thing under their name that normally has their birth date and their death date. But the birth date and the death date is separated by a dash.
Wow.
The dash represents what you achieved
everything
in your life.
In between. Wow.
And so my question to the human family, to each and every one of us, to you, Sasha, and to you, Candace, and to your brother, Heru, and to Caress, and to Chris, and to all of those, to your mother, to all of us, to myself, number one, what's your dash? What is your dash? What represents what you did from the moment you were born until the day you died? What is your dash? What will you be remembered for? What will people call your name for when they remember you and they say about you? What will they say about you? What is your dash? And that comes from never could have made it, because our ancestors have left us a phenomenal legacy. And as I look at what's happening in the world today, I mean, not worry. Because it is up to us now to understand something that we never really truly understood in this present day. We understood it growing up, how fragile democracy is, how fragile freedom is. Freedom ain't free. And the one thing that we have learned over these last couple of years is just as you were given your rights, how quickly someone can come through and start to take them away from you. Never could have made it. And every day when I do libation, when I thank my parents and all those that came before me for all that they did to get me where I am, I would never have made it without them. And I never live a day without thanking them and appreciating all that they did to make us where we are today. And I think each and every one of us needs to do this. No matter how horrific the situation is, what did you learn?
Take the best and leave the rest.
That's it.
Always a
get
lesson.
Get the sense out the nonsense. Take the sense out the nonsense and keep on going.
Wow.
Well, this was an amazing... Did you say what you wanted to say? Because I was gonna end it out because after that we gotta end it out with this song because that was good.
There's just something that I want to say about this Saturday and just let the community know what the next project is. That in your neighborhood, if you go to Hidden Colors 5, you'll see it's premiering. Because I don't know if we'll have a program between now and then. But August 1st, August 2nd, and down the line, Hidden Colors 5 will be premiering around the country. And I just wanted to let you know that this is the next thing. It's called The Art of Black Warfare, and it's a powerful piece. It's got some phenomenal people in it, and I just salute all those that have made it possible. I also would like to let the community know that in honor of Nipsey Hussle, Nick Cannon and Nick Cannon Productions have continued the work of Nipsey Hussle in developing the movie, the film on Dr. Sebi.
Yeah.
And that they've contacted me and asked me if I would be a part of the movie because I've been going to Dr. Sebi and Sister Ma'at for over 30 years. I used to bring you up there, Sasha. I used to bring you up to the clinic sometimes.
I know. I'm
and,
like bursting at the seams. Every time I hear it, I get excited.
Yeah, so this Saturday, I'm going to go into production. I'm going into the studios this Saturday with Nick Cannon to be a part of my discussion of my memories of Dr. Sebi, but most importantly, what he tried to tell us about health and nutrition. And so that'll be happening this Saturday. Be on the lookout for this film, because I am sure that this film is going to be powerful. So put on your seatbelt and get ready for the ride.
See, now you say that, and it's funny, but it's funny. Wait till you hear the song I'm about to play. Now I have to end it out. Don't say anything else. We're just going to end it right there. We'll see you the next time, and we're going to end it right there because I'm about to play the
song.
Hotep,
family. We the best.
For like 10, pregnant with my mom's doctor told her it was slim. It's been rough for 9 months, but gave birth in the end. Body started sticking, he proud when we done. In one generation, he came from Africa young. Said he met my mom's at the Century Club. Los Angeles love, kinda like hustle and book. Money turned 10, cross turned 2. Starting to see this life shift from a bird's view. We the ones that made millions off the curve, fool in this rap shit 10. Never made nerve moves.
You keep taking me higher and higher. Yeah,
Callum.
But don't you know that the devil is a liar?
Hey.
I know.
Right back.
They'd rather see me down, put my soul in the fire. But we keep going higher.
Yeah, talk to him. Emptied out the clip, it was broad day. Fuck niggas, always gotta learn the hard way. We gon' tape it off if we ball play. Put a half a moon crescent on your ball face. Police hit the lights, that's a car chase. Looking back at my life, make my heart race. Dance with the devil and test all faith. I was thinking chess moves, but it was God's grace. Crooked ass to heaven till we all straight. With no shame, I peep game and it's all fake. South Central state of mind, high crime rate. Homicide, hate gang banging to get you all day. Look at my face.
But don't you know that the devil is a liar?
I know.
They'd rather see me down, put my soul in the fire. But we keep going higher, higher.
Higher. Oh, Lord. Can you feel it? My you. So high, we keep going high.